Song of Solomon, chapter number 5. I want to begin reading. I don't think I want to read verse number 1. To be quite honest with you, when I studied through this, I personally believe that verse number 1 of chapter 5 belongs in chapter number 4. You've got to understand that the chapter divisions in the Word of God are not necessarily inspired of the Lord. And so I believe 5 and 1 more or less belongs to verse chapter number 4 and comes after 16. But anyway, I'm not throwing off on the Word of God. It's still the Word of God and it's still true. Okay, but I'm going to begin reading in verse 2. This is the bride that is speaking. This is the bride that is speaking here. And she said, I sleep, but my heart waketh. What a statement. I'm asleep, but my heart's awake. I'm in listening tune. It is the voice of my beloved knocking, saying, open to me, my sister, my love, my dove, my undefiled. For my head is filled with dew, and my locks with the drops of the night. The best I can remember, there was one commentator said about that verse, that's in reference to the Lord and the night he spent in the Garden of Gethsemane. As his sweat became great drops of blood, he spent the night there in prayer, entreating the Lord for his people. But his people on the next day, that coming day, crucified the Prince of Glory. And that's what most people believe that's referring to. And he said in verse 3, this is the bride speaking again. She said, I have put off my coat. How shall I put it on? I have washed my feet. How shall I defile them? My beloved put in his hand by the hole of the door, and my bowels were moved for him. I rose up to open the door to my beloved, and my hands dropped with myrrh, and my fingers with sweet-smelling myrrh upon the handles of the locks. That myrrh was already on the locks. It was put there by the Lord. And her hands touched it. It's a type of grace. And it says in verse 6, I opened to my beloved, but guess what? My beloved had withdrawn himself and was gone. My soul failed when he spake. I sought him, but I could not find him. I called him, but he gave me no answer. The watchmen that went about the city found me. They smote me. They wounded me. The keepers of the walls took away my veil from me. I charge you, O daughters of Jerusalem, if you find my beloved, that you tell him that I am sick of love. Now may the Lord add his blessing to that. I don't know, we may have turned down the air and turned them fans off. They're already drowning my throat out bad. And so if I ask you to do that, I hope you don't mind, okay? Let's bow to pray. Them things blow right on up here and they have a tendency to work on my throat and it's not the best shape anyway. Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, we're thankful for God's rich love and your mercy. We thank you tonight for Calvary upon which our Prince of Glory died. We thank you, Lord, for getting up out of the grave on that third and appointed day. You rose for our justification. I want to thank you for that tonight. You ascended back to the right hand of the Father. And Lord, what a blessing it is to know that you're there to make intercession for us now with the Supper of the Saints of God. So I pray that you'll divinely intercede on the behalf of Brother Hall. Lord, and you'll divinely intercede for your people that are here tonight. And pray the Father that he may send the Holy Spirit into this place to do things which is beyond man. Things that man cannot explain away, but they'd have to stand in awe, give God the glory for it. And Lord, they'd have to say to themselves they did on Mount Carmel that day, the Lord, he is God. The Lord, he is God. Help Brother Hall now. I pray that you'll make this fresh in my heart. Lord, that you'll help me to preach it as if I've never preached it before. I pray, Lord, that you'll use it tonight to whom it's intended to be for and to bless them. I pray you'll save sinners, and God, that you'll revive and bless and help the people of God. And we'll thank you for that in Jesus' name. Remember the sick. Amen and amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. All right, I want to call our attention to verse number 6, where the Bible said, I opened to my beloved, but my beloved had withdrawn himself and was gone. My soul failed when he spake. Notice these next words, I sought him, but I could not find him. I called him, but he gave me no answer. Now, I want to try to preach for a little while on these verses tonight and preach a message that I preached some years back, and I may have preached it again here since then, but no matter to me, amen. Ronnie Simpson said he preached one message on judgment 204 times. Don't bother me at all to preach one, two, or three times. Amen. And I want to preach a little while tonight on the thought of the withdrawal of the groom and how the groom withdrew himself from the bride in these verses. And it was done for a purpose. We need to realize tonight that everything that God does is for a purpose. And secondly, we need to realize that what God does for a purpose, he never makes a mistake in it. He doeth all things well. And thirdly, we need to realize that God does it for his glory, always for the glory of God. And then we need to remember that God does it for our good and our blessing. He's never one time done anything to hurt us, even at times when it seems like he's not near. God is nearer than you might think he is, standing somewhere in the shadows. You will find Jesus. He's a friend that cares and understands. And so I want to try to preach on that for a little while tonight and try to bring you up to where we are to some degree. I'm not going back and recap it all. My Lord, we'd be here all night long, and I don't have time for that. But you remember that I mentioned the Song of Solomon is a story of romance and love, a story of romance and redemption, or romance and love. And it portrays the intimate relationship of the bride of Christ to the Lord Jesus, the bridegroom. And I will say that I don't intend to be like a lot of preachers. I've heard a lot of preachers preach out of Solomon, and many of them got just almost downright vulgar in their preaching. I have no intention of doing that, so you don't have to worry about that. It is an intimate, very close relationship. There are some things that said you can take and run with if you want to. But I don't intend to do that tonight. I'm just going to preach what Christ laid on my heart, okay? Now, the Bible said that Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. It says that in Ephesians 5:25. I hope you believe that tonight. That he not only loved the church, but he loved the church so much that he put that love into action. Love that is never put into action is not love. Period. You might tell someone that you love them a million times, but if you don't show them your love and your affection, you'll never make them believe that. But Christ loved the church, and then he gave himself for it. I'll give you another illustration on that. For God so loved the world, he didn't stop there, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And so Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. And we should love him because he first loved us. That's what it says in 1 John 4:19. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that God loved us and gave his Son to be a propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but for the sins of the whole world. Amen. You can write that down in your book. Somebody say amen right there. Amen. Christ loved us first. Amen. and that we might love him. Amen. Had he not loved us, we would have never have loved him. Because the human heart is at enmity with God. Better believe it is. It's at enmity. It is an enemy of Almighty God. God's not our enemy. But we become enemies of God when we became alienated in our minds and sin overtook us. We transgressed the law of God. Adam was cast out of the garden and we became sinners separated by God. That's right. And that love, we couldn't love God. We couldn't communicate with God. But I'm glad God kept right on loving, fallen man. Amen. Now, that love is magnified here in such a glorious way. In this book, it shows how holy that love really is. May I say to you tonight, if you're in here and you're married, that your bond you have with your wife and your relationship to her is a very holy relationship. I'll never forget years ago when we had the Bible college here, and Brother Griffith from Louisville drove down on one night a week and taught back here in our Bible college. And his wife came with him one night. Well, Miss Hall said, why don't you come on up to the house? Sit up here with me. He'll be down there 3 or 4 hours. No need of you sitting down there by yourself. So she took the children and went up to our home. And she sat in there, and the babies had a little baby. Of course, they've always got a baby. Amen. And she had a little baby, and that baby got to cry. And she asked Mrs. Hall, said, is there somewhere that I can take my baby and nurse it? And Miss Hall said, sure. Said, there's a chair in our bedroom, on Mr. Hall, Brother Hall's bedroom. Said, you can go out down the hallway to the right, go right in our bedroom and nurse that child. And she said, oh, no, 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 no. And Miss Hall said, was puzzled. She said, what do you mean? She said, I would not dare go in your bedroom. She said, my husband has taught me that the bedroom is a sacred and a holy place with a man and with his wife. She said, if I can go down in the basement alone, that would be fine with me. Miss Hall let her go to the basement. But she would not go in that bedroom because she realized that there is a holy and a pure relationship between a man and his wife, and it ought to be kept that way. Somebody say amen right there. And may I say that our relationship that we have with the Lord is a holy and a pure relationship that we have with Him. Hallelujah to God. I'm glad it is. He said, be ye holy for I'm holy. And if you're not holy or I'm not holy, we're not going to see God. That book is clear. Without holiness, no man, underline that, no man shall see the Lord. That's right. Amen. So don't fool yourself and think you can live in sin all your life. Don't fool yourselves and think you can lean toward hell all your life and go to heaven when you die. It ain't going to work that way. God wants more than lip service out of our love. God wants heart service out of our love that will put our love into motion, into works for Him, as His love put Him into motion and into works for you and I, His dear children. Amen. That's right. Is it hot in here to y'all? And you drop that air on down a little bit, just a tad. Don't freeze my wife, but drop it down a little bit. That love is holy and pure. And that love cannot be broken. Somebody said, I believe it can. Well, you've got your Bibles open. Look over in chapter number eight, and look at verses 6 and 7. That Bible said, set me as a seal upon thine heart, as a seal upon thine arm. For love is strong as death. Can you get a hold of that? Death is strong. It's an enemy of ours. But love is strong as death. Jealousy is cruel as a grave. The coals thereof are coals of fire, which have a most vehement flame. Many waters cannot quench love. Neither can floods drown it. Somebody said, oh, I used to love my wife. No, you never did love her. Amen. If you can run off and leave her, you never did love her. Amen. The Bible said that many waters cannot quench love, and floods cannot drown real love. I'm separated. I'm positive about this, that love is such a tight bond between Christ and the church and a husband and a wife that there is nothing that can break that love bond unless we let it break it. Amen. That's right. God's in love with us. We're in love with Him. Husbands is in love with their wives, and the wives in love with the husbands. We say amen or oh me. That's right. That's right. That Bible says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? That's in Romans 8:35. I want you to listen to what I'm getting ready to say. I've heard a lot of preachers preach this. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? And I've heard a lot of people saying, that's talking about Christ stopping loving us. Said, who can separate us from that love? He's never going to stop loving us. Oh, no. You need to read that verse in Romans 8:35 as it is. Where he said, made this statement, I'll make it one more time. Who shall separate us from the love of God? I'm here to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, I'm confident in what I'm telling you, that if you've truly been to Calvary, if you've been birthed into the family of God, if you've been born again and you're God's child, that there is not one thing can come into your life that will separate you from the love of God. Amen. You might get discouraged. You might get cold. You might have troubles. You might have trials. You might have problems. But I'll tell you that you will never become separated from the Lord Jesus Christ. The bond of love will see to it, then cords of kindness will see to it that you're bound to Him for all time and eternity. Amen. I don't believe this Armenian nonsense that you can have it today, lose it tomorrow. I had a fellow tell me once, that sure you can lose your salvation. I said, tell me how. He said, well, sin. I said, well, tell me how much sin. He said, huh? I said, how much sin? Amen. Now, I'm not advocating sin, but if we're saved, we ought to shun sin. But I'm telling you, there's nothing in that Bible that will tell you how much sin or what sin you have to sin to be separated from the love of God. Not one. Right. Not one. Are you listening to me tonight? We're going to move right on, Lord, being our helper. But this love is so intense that it will never fade away, but rather burn forever like a glowing ember. I'm glad that our love for Him and His love for us will burn through all time and eternity. Now, I'll get to preaching here in a minute. I'm just preaching introduction. I'm glad it will glow for all time and all eternity. If you think that Christ has revealed His love now and that you're able to love Him now, you just wait till you get that glorified body and get to heaven and get in the presence of God and you're able to love Him. You're able to love Him, amen, with a pure and a holy and an absolute perfect mind and heart, hallelujah, and body. Boy, it's going to be something else. If you think that love is strong now, well, you ain't seen nothing yet, boy. Praise God, I'm telling you, I believe when we meet Him in the sky, the first thing He's going to do, you can believe whatever you want to believe. Leave me alone. I'm having a good time believing it. Come on. There's going to be a lot of us go up in the rapture. I believe in the sky we're going to meet the Lord in the air. I believe He's going to take time right there in the air to give a great big hug to every one of us. Hallelujah to God. Somebody said, now, Brother Hall, we ain't got that much time. We got eternity, neighbor. Amen. We got all the time God wants to have. I believe He's going to give us a big hug and let us know just how much He loves us right there in the air. Woo! Glory to God. Amen. That's right. Now, stay right with me. There's no power in heaven nor on earth that can sever the love of the groom and his lovely bride. They are prepared to live together. Now listen carefully. They're prepared to live together, and they're prepared to die together. Amen. You get a hold of what I said? They're prepared to live together, and they're prepared to die together. Somebody says, oh, not me. Then you may need to make a trip to the altar. There've been a lot of them that were martyred for the name of Christ that loved Him to the point of death. And I just preached to you the other night, on the church in Smyrna.
love not your lives unto death, and you shall receive a crown of life. Come on in the house now, boys and girls. Amen to God. I'm just telling you what the Bible says and what I believe. Amen. Now, they prepared to live together and to die together. I've told this story. Many of you have heard it. I'll tell it again for those that haven't. But Philip Bliss was a young man, 29 years old. He's a man that put the music to the song that was written by Mr. Spafford about his family, entitled It Is Well With My Soul. And Philip Bliss is a young 29-year-old man that put the music to that song. And he got married, and he hadn't been married long, so him and his lovely little bride was on a train. They were going somewhere, and Mr. Bliss was going to sing that night for somebody like Moody or somebody like that, and in a big revival meeting. That train crashed on the way. And when it crashed, it caught a fire. And his wife's leg was pinned in that train. And there was no way of getting her out. Philip Bliss sat down beside of her in that train, and the fire began to rage. She said, "Philip, save yourself. Save yourself. I'm not going to make it. Save yourself." But there's another woman somewhere. There's another wife somewhere. And he said, "My love, when I married you for all eternity. And I made up my mind there was not one thing that would ever separate my love from you. Said, when I gave myself to you, I become willing to die for you." And Philip Bliss sat right there in that boxcar with his wife on that train and was burned alive with his wife because of the love he had for her. Somebody said, "Oh, that's crazy. That's nonsense. Is it really, my friend? Christ Jesus went to Calvary because of his love for you and died on the cross, hallelujah, because he loved you with such a great love." Somebody say amen right there. He hanged there. He could have called 10,000 angels, but he chose to die alone for you and me. The disciples all fled from him. The Jews turned against him. The Romans crucified him. Somebody said, "Whose fault was it?" It was all their fault. The Romans crucified him. Pilate said, "Go to it." The church stood by and watched him. And the Jews said, "Let his blood be on our hands and on the hands of our children." So they all had a pretty good hand in crucifying the Lord. And they looked at him and said, "If you be the Son of God, why don't you come down and we'll believe you?" How foolish. Had he come down, we'd all been bound for hell. Bless his holy, wonderful name, I'm telling you. We ought to be rejoicing tonight. Hey, we'd all be headed for hell had he listened to that crowd. But I'm glad he stayed there on Calvary and drank the very last bitter drag of sin for you and I, that you and I might be made righteous, hallelujah, that we might inherit eternal and everlasting life, thank be unto God, that we might have a home in heaven someday and have a wonderful time living for him here on earth as well. I'm having more fun tonight than most Baptists had in 125 years. Amen. That's right. I have fun. I have fun when I preach. I'd rather preach and eat when I'm hungry. And I'm going to tell you, you know my motto, like Brother Doug's, Brother Steve's, you got to eat. Amen. Now listen carefully. Listen carefully. Here's the Lord, and he's been out all night. He knocks, he comes home, and he knocks on the bride's door. And listen to the words of love that he speaks to her. He said, "Open to me, my sister, my love, my dove, my undefiled." And he said, my head is filled with the dew, and my locks with the drops of the night that I've been out all night long. In other words, what he was saying was, "I'm very tired. I need some rest." And here was her response from the inside. "I put off my coat." Amen. She got laid back. She's like we are today. She said, "I took off my coat. How do you expect me to put it on? I've washed my feet. How do you expect me to defile me in?" You know what she said? She's like a lot of Baptists. She took a sign like at a motel room and hung on the outside of it. "Do not disturb." Yep. That's exactly what's done. Don't disturb me. That's the way most Baptists are today. That's why we're not getting anything done. Don't disturb me. I'm doing quite well at where I'm at and what's going on in my life. And I ain't got enough sense to realize that we're not working and laboring for Him that loved us. And I'm telling you what, ladies and gentlemen, if we could ever get a hold of the amount of the love that God has for you and I. Oh, it calls us to do a little bit more for Him. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. Brother Pace would say, praise the Lord.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Now, the Lord slipped His hand in that hole by the lock, and He's got myrrh on His hands. That's the type of grace. And He fumbles with the handles that lock. And she wouldn't get up from a voice, but grace moved her. Now I'm telling you, grace is the only thing that will move us today. I don't care what people call me. I've been called a Calvinist because I preach on the grace of God. Well, listen carefully to what I'm getting ready to say. Grace, 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 grace. Grace, 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 grace. Grace, thank God for grace. I didn't deserve His love. I didn't deserve to go to heaven or to be in hell. But thank God He slipped His hand in the door and left a little grace, hallelujah, on the handle inside. And when I saw that grace, my veils were moved for Him. When I saw how He could love me, a sinner, condemned, unclean, wicked, and vile, and wretched, I'm telling you, my heart was moved for Him. That morning I got saved. Up there, Brother Andy. I'd come back from Vietnam, wasn't none but an old drunk. A sot. I was a sot drunk, if you know what I mean by that. I'm talking about a seven-dayer, and I wasn't a seven-day Adventist either.
Amen.
Praise God. Amen. Get paid on Friday night, come in Sunday afternoon, broke. Over and over, fighting and scraping and cutting and carrying on. Sticking shotguns in guys' faces and threatening to blow their head off. Crazy junk.
Amen.
Running 120, 30 mile an hour in automobiles when you're so blind drunk you couldn't even see the highway. But oh, the providence of God.
Amen.
How God looked upon me. Through providence, God spared me. Oh, I want to bless His name. Brought me down to that little Southern Baptist church building that morning. Woo! Hallelujah to God. I didn't come to get saved, but I'm telling you that morning, I met somebody like I'd never met before in all of my life. Amen right there. He was altogether lovely. Amen. He was altogether the lovely one. Amen. Hallelujah. When He said, come to me. Now, I'm going to tell you, somebody said, could you resist it? I'm going to put it to you like this. I didn't want to.
Amen.
Now, I could have, because I don't believe in irresistible grace. It tells you very plainly in Acts chapter number 7, He said, your fathers resisted the Holy Ghost, and He said, so do you. But I didn't want to. I had resisted.
Amen.
But that morning, I didn't want to, buddy. I saw myself hanging out over hell.
Yes.
I saw myself a transgressor of God's law and God's love.
Amen.
I realized that there was punishment involved. And that punishment was death. The wages of sin is death.
Yes.
But oh, when He pointed me toward hell and showed me death, the Holy Ghost said, now turn around and lift up your eyes. And I lifted up my eyes, and lo and behold, there was a Lamb that stood on Mount Calvary. As He had been slain before the foundation of the world. Hallelujah. And I saw Him on the cross, dying in my place. And the blessed words come from His mouth, come unto me, Gary. I love you and I'll make you whole. And I'm going to tell you amen to God. When He said, will thou be made whole? I said, Lord, I don't have nobody to put me in the pool. He said, I am the pool. Come on, amen. Hallelujah. I got born again by the grace of God. And ain't always been perfect, and ain't perfect right now. Thank God. Amen. Now, He withdrew Himself. And she opened that door to go after him. She finally rose up and went after him. But when she opened that door to her beloved, she said in verse 6, my beloved had withdrawn himself.
Amen.
He was gone. I want to say something to you tonight. If God ever knocks on your door, friend, you better answer the door. If you ever rang your doorbell, answer it.
Amen.
If you ever rang your telephone, pick it up.
Amen.
He may not ever ring your doorbell or ring your telephone ever again. He doesn't have to. Somebody said, oh, he's obligated to come to me a dozen times. Find that in the Bible for me. He'd be justified if he let us all go to hell. Oh, but I'm glad, thank God, he visited where we were. And he does give second. He does give second chances. Somebody say amen right there. Hallelujah, God. He did old David and Bathsheba, didn't he? David committed that sin. I'm telling you, you'd think that everything was all over. But hallelujah, God gave him a Solomon. God gave him a Solomon. Wisest man in all the earth. God gave him a Solomon together. What a blessed God we have. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I feel like a novice tonight. Amen. Now, why did the groom withdraw? I'm going to get to that in a minute. But John 12:36, the Bible says, Jesus said, while you have light, leave in the light, that you may be children of light. These things spake Jesus and departed and did hide himself from them. Has God ever hid himself from you? Has your Bible ever been hard for you to read? Hard to sing, hard to come to church and worship? Just don't feel like it? Come on now, you know I'm telling it right. Amen. You ever feel that way? Sure you have. You know you have. But there are times, and here's the point I'm going to make tonight. There are times the Lord withdraws himself from us, but he always does it for a purpose. And I'll guarantee you, if you let him bless that trial to your heart, it'll be one of the most blessed times of your entire Christian ministry to watch God work in your heart when you're so troubled and disturbed and bring you out of it. Amen. You'll turn around and look from where you come from and say, glory. Hallelujah. Bless his holy name.
Amen.
Thanks be unto God. Bless the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Hallelujah for what he's done. He's
Amen.
Lifted me out. He's brought me all the way. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And I'm going to tell you, he's brought you this far. He'll take you the rest of the way. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. That's right. I feel like a novice. Like Doc Siler said, I don't have better sense. I got gray hair in my temples. No, I got it all over my head, buddy. What little bit I got left.
Amen.
Now, may I say to you tonight, if you love him, arise. Go after him.
Yes.
If he's withdrawn himself, go after him.
Yes.
If you sit there like a dead beast, you never will find him.
Yes.
Get up off your blessed spiritual assurance and go after him.
Yes.
That's why he's withdrawn himself. He wants you to go after him and find him. Somebody said, oh, I don't believe that, brother. Is that right? Well, the Bible said in chapter 3 of the book of Philippians, Paul was talking about Christ apprehending him. And he said, after I was apprehended by Christ, he said, I've spent the rest of my life trying to apprehend the one that apprehended me.
Amen.
Now, here's a good way to get some more candy bars. Some of y'all ain't heard this one. Several years ago, I went on visitation one night at Bremen. I visited Brother Steve, Ricky's, Miss Patty. I visited their aunt, Brother Robert's sister. I visited their aunt. And her husband. And I left over there and come by a little, what was a little Quick Picks back then? What was the name? Was it Quick Pig or what? Pantry. That's what it was. And when I was a boy growing up, I loved them zero candy bars. And I walked by, walked down and says, go and get me a Pepsi. And I walked down that candy row and I looked and headed that thing. And there was them candy bars. And all at once I heard something. I heard a voice say, "Hey, bud, you just passed it up." I said, "Somebody talking to me?" That Zero County bar said, "It's me. Look here." I looked down on that rack and there was them big Zero candy bars. I said, "Lord," I said, "are you talking to me?" He said, "Who do you think I'm talking to, boy? Nobody back here, me and you." He said, "You remember how good I used to be?" I said, "Sure do." He said, "Won't you pick me up? I'm all yours for the taking. All you got to do is just reach out and get me." I said, "Oh, I'm not a kid no more." He said, "You don't have to be a kid to love me. But reach out and get one of them." I said, I don't need it." Started to walk away and he said, "Don't lose your opportunity." I looked back at that Zero. I said, "I went back there and got that Pepsi and come back and it's on my right hand this time." He said, "Hey, bud. Me again, fella?" "Yeah. When you just love to have this caramel, this nougat, can you feel it melting in your mouth and running down the corner of your mouth and down your chin? Drinking that Pepsi with it and it just foaming up in there in the big foam in your mouth. You remember how good it was when you was a little boy?" I said, "I remember how good it was." He said, "All you got to do is reach out and take a hold of me." "Well, what?" Somebody said, "Brother Hall, what happened?" I'm telling you what happened. That candy bar, it apprehended me. I remembered how good it was and how wonderful it tasted. And I stood there and looked at it and he said, "Go on, you're just about ready. Reach." And I felt that right hand. I said, "Come on. Come on, just a little more. Just a little more." And trembling and shaking like that, I grabbed that candy bar, son, and headed up toward that counter. I no more got out in that truck, son. I peeled the wrapper off of that thing. I said, "Praise God." Now, if you'll read over there in Corinthians, you'll find out where Christ apprehended you and I. When we saw His glory and His majesty and His beauty and His love for us, it apprehended you and I. And that love that apprehended us said, "Hey, reach out and take a hold of me." "Well, I don't know, Lord." "Go ahead, I'm yours. You can have it." Baptist, it's time, bless God, that we reached out and apprehended Christ. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, He's apprehended you when He saved you. It's your responsibility to apprehend Him the rest of your life. Say amen right there. Hallelujah. Wonderful. Amen. The Bible said in Isaiah 59:1-2, "Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that He cannot save, neither is His ear heavy that He cannot hear. Your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid His face from you that He will not hear." Somebody tell me what time it is. I need you to hurry. 8 o'clock. We got 2 more hours. Amen. Now, why does He withdraw Himself? I will say, number one, to increase your faith.
Amen.
To increase your faith. That's right. The Bible said there, in verse number 6, she said she opened her beloved, but my beloved had withdrawn Himself and was gone. My soul failed when He spake. Next 3 words said, "I sought Him."
Amen.
I sought Him. Oh, hallelujah to God. Now, she didn't know where He was at. She called and He didn't answer. She looked for Him and couldn't find Him. Sometimes you cannot find Christ. But I think it was John Anselm said that the finger of faith has got to reach out into the realms of darkness to where you know not, that you know not where, and do its best to apprehend Christ. Amen. To find Christ by faith and to apprehend Him. I believe it was Larry Raines said, faith is like pictures used to be. They're developed in a dark room. I'm telling you, your faith is developed in those dark times in your life when you feel like God is done cleaning gone. And I want to remind you, He's not left you. Hallelujah. He wouldn't say that He'd never forsake you and never fail you and run off and leave you to yourself and leave you to the devil in the world. He's not like that, amen. He's not like man, oh no. He's God Almighty and He ain't about to run off and leave you. Amen, that's right. Bless His wonderful name. Amen. And I said your sins have separated between you and your God. Or your iniquities have, and your sins have hid His face from you And he's done that to increase our faith.
Amen.
Now, very quickly, let me answer this question. Somebody said, where is Christ? I want to answer this very, I'll just briefly hit it and go on with the message. But I'm going to tell you, it's the same place he's always been. He's never went anywhere.
Amen.
May I say, for a lost person, I'm going to tell you where you'll find him if you look. On the tree!
Amen.
Now, I know he's not on the cross. Hey, we're not Catholics. But I'm telling you, every sinner's got to go to Calvary.
Yeah.
You've got to see him crucified in your place.
Yeah.
Somebody said, would he still be there for a sinner today? Oh, yes! You can find him there. Nailed to the cross with your sins nailed with it.
Yeah.
Hallelujah to God.
Yeah.
I'm glad when he died on the cross, I died with him. Amen! Paul said, I'm crucified with Christ. I'm dead. But nevertheless, I live, but yet not I. It's Christ that liveth in me. In the life I now live with the flesh, I live with the faith of the Son of God that loved me and gave himself for me. Do you have that kind of faith tonight? I won't say secondly, for you and I are still on the throne. Amen to God. What's that be? Somebody in here that's got a better education than I have. Correct me if I'm wrong, somebody. There's a big word. Is there a word called abnegated? Huh? Abba or Abba?
Abdicated.
Abdicated? That means he ain't left it, in other words. He ain't got off of it. He ain't give it to the devil. Or nobody else. He's still there.
Amen.
You can come boldly to the throne of grace. He's still there. Somebody said, I can't find him. Look to the throne like Isaiah high and lifted up. Amen. Get your head up and your eyes up a little bit. He's on the throne. Thanks be unto God. Now I'm going to tell you, when he's on the throne, his glory will fill the temple. Somebody say amen right there. When he sits on the throne of everybody's heart at Island Ford Baptist Church, the glory will fill this place. I feel like kicking this table over, bless God, and running across them pews and jumping through that window back there head first. Amen. Robert, get out of the way. Here I come. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm telling you, I ain't felt this way in a long time. I want to tell you somewhere else. He's still in the temple. He ain't left his church.
Amen.
He's still there. And I'm going to say fourthly, he's still in the tempest. He's still in the storm, ladies and gentlemen.
Yep.
You better believe he is. Now listen carefully. Where are you going to seek him at? I won't be long, I promise. If you listen fast, I'll go fast. Where are you going to find him at? Where are you going to seek him at? That Bible said that I sought him. Where are you going to seek him at? May I say, first of all, seek him in the privacy of your heart.
Amen.
Can you imagine a great big God living in your little bitty old heart?
Yes.
That is exactly right. But listen to what Deuteronomy said, 4:29. But if from thence thou shalt seek the Lord thy God, thou shalt find him when thou seek him with all thy heart and with all thy soul. Hey, you may seek him with just a little bit of your heart, and he may be over in another part of it. There may be a little dark corner down here somewhere you ain't looked in. That may be where you find him. He said when you seek him with all your heart. Hey, he done, this half-hearted business of Baptist today is not worth a flip, ladies and gentlemen. It's not, hey, it don't work with God. He wants all, hey, he wants all of our heart, and he wants us to seek him with all of that heart, amen. And when we do, we'll find him. I'm going to tell you what happened to most of us. We get in a little trouble. We feel like God's gone. And we get the pooge mouths and the feel sorries and the pity parties. And everybody's wrong but us. We're the only ones that's right and everybody else is wrong. And we get the pity parties. But I'm here to tell you, are you listening to what Brother Hall's telling you tonight? Look in your heart. If he dwells in you, he's there. Christ in you, the hope of glory. He is there in the recesses of your soul. Look for him in there. Turn inward. Look inward and try to seek him within your own heart and your own life before you go anywhere else. Look for him in there. May I say secondly, You don't have to seek him on the pages of the Bible. Hallelujah. Jesus said in John 5:39, search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. He's in this book. Somebody said, well, I can read the book. Somebody told me today, said, I just read the Bible and it's not like it used to be. Things just don't jump out at me no more. I just don't get the joy out of it no more. Can I tell you something? Don't tell nobody. Don't tell a soul I said this. Don't tell nobody on the radio I said this. I'm in the same boat.
Amen.
Somebody said, not me. Stop your lying. There was no open vision in the land in Samuel's day. But, y'all, these visitors will think I'm nutter than a fruitcake. But, before the lights ever went out in the temple, God called old Samuel. Now I'm telling you, God ain't about to let the light go out in the church house. Amen to God. No, 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 no. If we'll seek him in the pages of the Bible, it's still the same. He's still there. He hadn't went anywhere. We still got a 1611, don't we? I hope there ain't no NIVs in here. RSVs. We don't believe in RSVs. NIVs. SUVs or HIVs. Amen. No smiles on that one. Y'all heard it so many times. Praise God. All right. Seek him on the pages of the Bible. I'm going to tell you where some of you can find him if you just listen. Seek him in the preaching of the Word of God. Oh, somebody said, Brother Hall, that's not why we come to church. Now, let me read a little verse in Titus 1:1-3. Paul said, a servant of God and apostle of Jesus Christ according to the faith of God's elect, and the acknowledging of the truth which is after godliness, in hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began, but hath in these due times manifested his word through preaching. That's how God's chosen to open up this book and give you light from this book. Show you Christ from this book. Through the preaching of the Word of God. So I said, Brother Hall, you mean I can't find him on my own? I just told you, read the Bible. Sure you can. But when you come to church, put your ear against the heart of God and listen to what God said. You'll find him in the preaching of the Word of God, ladies and gentlemen. Hallelujah. I've got a sign here that says, send out thy light and thy truth. Harold Sattler had a little plaque on his platform that said, serve! We would see Jesus. It's still there.
Amen.
I'm not interested in preachers' opinions. I want the book, friend.
Amen.
I'm not worried. I'm not interested in storytelling. Fairy tales. Ghost stories. I've seen preachers get up, bless God, and jerk a tear out of a glass eye. Not have an ounce of God around them nowhere.
Amen.
It's this book preached and manifested. What do you think happened when Peter preached to all of them on the day of Pentecost, and the Bible said they were all pricked in the heart? Why do you think they were? The manifestation of the Word of God through preaching. Come to the church and listen to preaching. Don't sit back there and toddle kids and pick your nose and flip boogers and one thing and another. Let's go pay attention to what's going on.
Amen.
Amen. That's right. Now she not only sought him, but she summoned him. Listen to what it says. She said, I sought him, but I could not find him. Then after I couldn't find him, she said, I went long range. Jesus! She said, I called him. Jesus! She summoned him. She called for him. She let that voice be heard. Let it echo out through the hills and the mountaintops and down through the valleys. She called out that wonderful name. And she began to summons him and call him. She summons him in prayer. Look at verse number 6. The Bible said there that I sought him but I could not find him. And I called him. I called him. Hey, she called him. She summons him by prayer. She called him. Call unto me. Now I will, come on now. Now I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Amen. The Bible said in Psalm 55, 6, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is, and I underline this word, call upon him when he is near. May I say, the further you let him get away, the harder it's going to be to get him back.
Yeah,
you better call on him while he's near, ladies and gentlemen. He may get so far enough away, he can't hear that voice of yours. Somebody said, oh, yes, he can. Well, he can, but he might not pay no attention to it. If you cry from the ends of the earth, he'll hear you. But I'm going to tell you, there's such a thing as sending away your day of grace, and there's such a way as crossing over God's deadline. There's such a thing.
Amen.
You better believe so. I wonder how many folks have done it. Call upon him while he's near. Psalm 32 and verse 6, the Bible said, for this shall everyone that is godly pray unto thee in a time when thou mayest be found. Pray unto him in a time when he mayest be found. What time is that? When he's near, folks.
Amen.
Pray unto him when he's near. Hallelujah. Come on now.
Amen.
Amen. She summoned him in perils. I hope I can get this point. If I don't get anything else across, get what I'm getting ready to say. The Bible said there in verse number 7, she said, the watchmen that went about the city found me. They smote me. They wounded me. The keepers of the walls took away my veil from me. The first time that she went out looking for him, the watchman on the wall found her, and immediately after she left them, she found Christ. But not this time. She said the watchman. Said they went about the city, they found me, and said they smote me. They didn't treat me as well as they did the last time. They seemed to be angry with me. And they smote me. Said they took away my veil. What I'm trying to say is that she wasn't afraid to put her life in peril to find God. We are about a pitiful crew tonight. How many of us in here are willing to put our life on the very line?
Amen.
To give our life that we might find Christ?
Yep.
Paul said he'd gladly give his life for Christ.
Amen.
She went out into that city, buddy. I'm going to tell you, she was in a strange world. And them watchmen, they found her, and when the first thing they done, they pulled her veil off. She had on an espousal veil. She was a spouse to be married. But when they pulled that veil off of her, she looked like a common harlot running the streets. Come on now. She didn't look like a bride anymore. She looked like a common harlot out in the streets. But she was willing to sacrifice that she might find Christ in her life. I'm going to tell you, what are you willing to sacrifice in your life that you might find Him, that you may know Him and the power of His resurrection?
Amen.
The fellowship of His sufferings. Huh?
Amen.
There's not many people.
Amen.
Hallelujah. I've never seen a crowd like today. Can't hardly get folks to come to meetings today. Be faithful to church. Much less getting people to hazard their lives for Christ.
Amen.
Can I say this? If men went to combat and put their lives on the line in the war for our country, for America, can we not put our lives on the line for our heavenly country? Oh, man, I could tell you story after story. Nate Saint, Jim Elliott, that crowd went to the Onca Indians back in the 50s, I believe, and lost their lives trying to carry the Word of God to the Onca Indians in South America. John and Betty Stamm went to China. And they lost their head. They said John Stamm's head, and they told him, said, recant, and he said, never. And they cut his head off, and it rolled down over a hill and landed on the stump of the neck and looked back up the hill smiling at him. I wonder if we're willing to go to that extent for Christ.
Right.
Are we willing to give our money and work and labor for the Master until He comes back? Put our all into it. Put our backbone and our heart and our mind into it. Amen and amen. Bible said in Acts 20, 22 and 24, the Bible said, now behold, Paul said, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, save that the Holy Ghost witness in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I may finish my course with joy. I want to ask you something. What is your course tonight? If your course called you to a land far away, would you go?
Amen.
Would you be willing to go if that's where God wanted you tonight? Oh, most Baptist preachers today, they want to be preachers as long as I can preach at home right under the nose of mommy and daddy.
Amen.
Then we show disrespect to these men that have given years of their service on foreign soil. God help us. They left everything. And some of them has hazarded their life. Bill Williams told me on Friday night, he said, preacher, we're in such a mess down here, I can't even get out of the country.
Amen.
I wonder if we're willing to hazard our lives. She did. She went right out into the city at night.
Amen.
Seeking the Lord. Summoned Him in prayer and summoned Him in perils. Hallelujah. I want to finish my course with joy. I don't know about you, but I know I do. Then He not only wants to increase our faith and prove our faith, but He wants to bless us with hope. That Bible said she found Him once in chapter 3, verses 1 through 5, and there was hope of finding Him again. May I say to you, if you've ever been through it once, hallelujah, there's hope a second time. It'll be a lot easier the second time around, friend. I'll guarantee you on that. Because there's some blessed hope in that second time around. You better believe there is. Amen. Paul said, and we desire that every one of you should show the same diligence and full assurance of hope unto the end. Hebrews 6:19 said, which hope we have as an anchor for the soul, both steadfast and sure.
Amen.
I'm going to tell you something. We're not having revival, but I got hope that we will. Come on now, help me. I'm hoping we will.
Amen.
Somebody said, what if we don't? I'll die hoping we will.
Amen.
Amen. Many men died for a cause, and later that cause come to pass while they were in the ground dead.
Amen.
Think of the prophets that prophesied of Jesus coming. And Jesus told them plainly, said the prophets would have loved to have seen this day. They'd have loved to have seen this day. But they died without seeing it. And I'm going to tell you something. It's coming the day we're all going to see together.
Amen.
God's chosen that they without us should not see the glory. We're not going to, He's not going to be crowned till we all get home.
Amen.
Then we'll crown Him Lord of all, because that's what He is. Amen.
Amen.
And I want to say thirdly, and I'm closing here. He withdrew Himself to prove our love. When do we really love Him tonight?
Amen.
She said in verse number 8, she said, I charge you, daughters of Jerusalem, if you find my beloved, that you tell him that I am sick of love. She missed him so bad she was sick. I'm going to tell you something. Lovers that will faint away if they're not inside of the object of their love. Brother Steve went with us to Mexico one year. Went with me down there. Rode all the way to Michoacan with Brother Bill and Brother Manny, and I'm telling you, that was a real trip, buddy. Brother Manny said, I'm telling you right now, we're going to have to ride with that man again. I'm taking Valium. I can't handle it. He run 115, 20 mile an hour with something out of his brakes, broke on the truck. Ruts in the thing that deep in the highway, him running out there 120 mile an hour. Now I'm sitting there hanging on. He went around the curve in the back end of that truck. Old Bill said, "It'll be all right, preacher." Now I'm sitting there going, "But we made it. We made it." She said there, she said, "I'm sick of love. I'm sick of love." Hey, what is love? It's a holy fire kindled in affection where a Christian is carried out strongly after God as a supreme good. That's what love is. Get a hold of this. It is a harlot's love to love the portion more than the person. In other words, a harlot wants the money. She loves the portion she gets more than she loves the person. She wants the money. But and hypocrites love God because of what He gives them. But I'm here to tell you, we must love God for who He is. He's just God, ladies and gentlemen. We got to love Him for who He is and what He is. And love Him for all those shining perfections which are in Him. He's a perfect one. And by grace, someday we that are saved will be like Him. Won't that be wonderful? Amen and amen. Listen very carefully to what I'm getting ready to say. We can give the creature milk, the milk of our love. Brookie come upstairs and said, Papa, taste this milk and see if it's okay. I'm always the one around the house that's got to taste the milk, see if it's sour. It's fine, Brookie. I had to eat the cantaloupe to make sure it hadn't fermented. But I'm going to tell you, I love my wife. Everybody in here knows that. I'd kiss her if Brother Ricky wasn't in here tonight. But I'm telling you, all I can do is give her the milk of my love. I'm going to tell you why. Christ must have the cream.
Amen.
He's got to have the cream of our love.
Amen.
Period.
Amen.
You know and I know that the cream's the best thing in that milk. And they will settle for nothing less.
Amen.
Love's an industrious thing. Listen carefully now. It sets its head studying for God. It sets its hands working for God. It sets its feet running in the ways of His commandments. It's an industrious thing love is. Man that loves his wife don't mind working for her. I hate these guys, what do you call them? Go-getters. They take her to work at 8 o'clock in the morning and go get her at 4. They're real go-getters. Amen. Now, listen, signs of love. Now I'm done. I'm just about done. We cannot find contentment in anything without Him. Are you listening to me? I want somebody in here to listen very carefully right here. There is no contentment. There is no satisfaction of life without Him. Even as a child of God, if he's withdrawn himself, that contentment is gone, that satisfaction is gone, and people begin to worry, does he really love me? Yes, he loves you, and he's trying to prove to you that he loves you. He wants you to seek after him.
Yes.
I'll guarantee you'll find him.
Yes.
I've had to do it a number of times. I remember one time when I was over at Rumsey. Well, this is after my hide over there. Woo! I believe this is after everything. I called Brother Nolan. He said, "Son, you got one choice, and that's crawl up close to the very heart of God and don't leave it."
Amen.
And I did. 2 minutes later, a knock come on my door, and guess who it was? Troublemaker number one. God already told me he was coming. His name was Demas. not Demas. In John, 1 John, what is it? Diotrephes. His name was Diotrephes. He loveth the preeminence. I won't say another sign of love is that we labor to render Him lovely to others. When was the last time you tried to make Christ lovely to somebody else? Hey, those daughters of Jerusalem, they asked in verse 9, said, what is your beloved more than another beloved? Why, O thou fairest of among women, what is thy beloved more than another beloved that thou doest charge us like this? And she said, my beloved is white and ruddy, chiefest among 10,000. His head is the most fine gold. His locks are bushy and black as a raven. His eyes are as the eyes of doves, and the rivers of waters washed with milk and fitly set. His cheeks are as a bed of spices, of sweet flowers. His lips are like lilies dropping sweet smelling myrrh. His hands are as gold rings set with a beryl. His belly is bright ivory overlaid with sapphire. His legs are pillars of marble set up in sockets of fine gold. His countenance is as Lebanon, excellent in the cedars. His mouth is most sweet. Woo! Yay! He is altogether lovely. This is my beloved, and this is my friend, O daughters of Jerusalem. And they had just asked her, said, what is your beloved? Chapter 6 and verse 1, they said, where's he at? Where's he at?
Amen.
Let us find him also. Are you listening tonight? I know a lot of people think, well, we've got God, we're floating along just fine. You might be doing all right in worldly aspects. But how is your real spiritual life tonight?
Amen.
We're willing to do and to suffer for Him. We love Him. He who loves God hates that which separates him from God. Sin!
Amen.
We treat sin like a cream puff anymore. Isn't it pretty? Oh, it's so creamy and mushy. So pretty. Pretty to look at and pretty to hold. But I'm going to tell you, take it in your bosom and it'll burn you like wildfire.
Yes.
Sin will send you to hell if you're lost. Yes. And sin, if you're saved, can make you wish you was in hell.
Yes.
I'm going to tell you, there ain't nothing that will torture a saint's mind anymore than living in a life of sin. Friend, you wish to God you was dead. That ought to have been a better choice than being in hell a while ago, I suppose. And I won't say finally, he who loves God will weep bitterly over his absence. God can leave most Baptists today and don't think a thing about it.
Amen.
So what? He's gone. I'm doing all right. I'm in church. That ain't what he wants.
Amen.
He wants you in church.
Right.
How many of you remember them big posters years ago? Showed a picture of that guy, said, Uncle Sam, and he said, Uncle Sam wants you. I'm going to say something. God wants you.
Amen.
He doesn't necessarily want yours. He wants you. But if he gets you, he'll have yours along with it. Where's God at in your life tonight? Close? Far off? Withdrawn? Have you summoned Him? Have you called? Have you prayed? Have you sought Him? Have you looked for Him? You can find Him. Let's stand together.